Please welcome to the show for the first time, the assistant coach for the Toronto Raptors, Mr. Jama Malalea. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Good. First of all, I just want to say this. When we tweeted that you don't have a Twitter account, I noticed. Is that correct?
Correct.
Smart. Really smart.
Agreed.
It's a wasteland of negativity. However, when your name was tweeted yesterday, it asked if we wanted to, and I couldn't figure out why, if you wanted to translate your name from Indonesian.
I've heard Indonesian, Hawaiian. I've heard a lot of combinations, but it's actually from Swaziland, Southern Africa.
Okay, and you're Canadian as well, and you've been here basically your whole life.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Which is nice. Now give me your history. You're a BC kid. Is that correct?
No, I'm Toronto. So I went to high school at Oakwood, Oakwood Collegiate. So grew up playing Toronto basketball. Really good career there. The battles with Eastern Commerce and Jamal McGlure. And then went out to UBC for university and played my university basketball there, and then started coaching and actually did 4 years back home here at U of T before I moved on to the Raptors.
Mm-hmm. As far as being assistant coach in the NBA, is it what you thought it would be? Is this a dream come true? Because you took obviously a different path than a lot of people to get to the NBA.
No, it's really a dream. I pinch myself all the time and just sort of, amazed at where I am. From where I could have been or where I started. I think my first connection with the Raptors was an old program they did called the Raptor Ball Program. I think I was mixing Gatorade for that program. And, now to be an assistant coach is just an incredible journey.
Yeah, it's awesome. And you're a great story, but you've also got some responsibility. So the first question I would ask is, what can you do to help just you? Is it your job to turn this thing around after these last three games?
Coach put all the pressure on me yesterday. Did you got to turn? No. But, it's a good point. And what we did and what we told our team after the last game is that every member of our team, so the 15 players, all the staff, the equipment manager, everyone that's part of our traveling party, which is about 50 people, we can all find something to do to get our team better. Yeah. And that's a really important point, that it's not about what is someone else doing, but what can you do yourself to find a little area of improvement.
And what is it, your assistant coach, we see you and Rex and the crew all the time, but what are you charged with as far as coaching? What is your contribution? What do you do for the team?
Yeah, my main area of specialty sort of is our player development. So improving our player skill, be it, the dribbling, passing, shooting, all the individual skill sets is sort of what I do primarily and oversee. And then, of course, your game preparations. That's what all of us, I have a hand in. How do we get ready for the Spurs? How do we get ready for, whatever team we have coming up next?
Now, how do you get ready for the Spurs? You're outmanned because DeMar DeRozan's off for a couple of games. He tweaked his ankle. He's just two games or so, we've heard. Kyle Lowry, bit of a funk the last two, three games. What are you guys doing to get prepared for the Spurs tonight at 7:30?
Yeah, the preparation needs to be the same. They're a little banged up too, so it's figuring out what the matchups are going to be tonight. With DeMar being out, there's more chance, and it's an opportunity league, so there's more chance, for a T. Ross, more chance for a Norm to maybe get themselves going with a few more minutes. So on our side, we got to step up to the plate in terms of getting a role you maybe not would have had in a previous situation without DeMar. And then in terms of the Spurs specifically, it's sort of finding who are they going to play, how big are they going to play. They're such a big team. So how do we match up with that? And good for us finally to be a little bit healthier, to have options with Sullinger, to be able to come back and some of our bigs sort of coming back into the fold as well.
Jama, you talk about how difficult it is to prepare for a team like the Spurs. How do you do that? How do you try to find a weakness in such an elite team? It must be a lot harder than preparing for the Nets, who just flat out suck. How tough is it just to find out on the Spurs, what are their weaknesses? What can we expose?
It's the same process for every team, right? You're really looking at sort of what are their primary areas, how do they score the ball, and let's take away their primary strength. And then defensively, a lot of it is what are they going to do to us, and that becomes a major part. Is how are they going to guard us? How are they going to guard DeMar and Kyle in pick and rolls? Are they going to blitz it? Are they going to be back? And then we can create a strategy around that. I agree with a team like them that has so many weapons. And I think the amazing part with the Spurs is they have so many tricks now as well. They played together for so long. Pop's been there for so long. We know the play they're going to run, but they have five or six tricks they can do out of it. So that's the part you really got to figure out.
Jama Malalea, he is the assistant coach for the Toronto Raptors, is our guest this morning. You get the Raptors and Spurs in town for a 7:30 game. Sportsnet 590, The Fan. You can listen to it right here, watch it on Sportsnet 1. Pre-game at 7 o'clock as well. Back to Kyle Lowry. Struggled 1-for-9 from three against the Suns at home. Hasn't been great this three-game stretch. Is he banged up too, or does he need a rest? Where's he at?
Every player in the NBA is banged up right now. These are sort of the dog days of an NBA season, four All-Star, where everyone's sort of a bit of a grind of the schedule, and you got to find ways to motivate yourself. But the good part with Kyle and why I'm so impressed with him, you know, all the time is he's been here before. You know, he had a bit of a funk in the playoffs that we all remember, and he found his way through that. And we know that's going to happen in this case. He's already committed a little bit extra, just, you know, find that shot and get that feeling really good. But he'll be back. We know that. He's such a leader for us that we know that he'll be there and making a contribution to help us win games.
So that brings me to Patrick Patterson when it comes to funks. His is physical. He's obviously still hurting. No coincidence that they lose the three games that he didn't play in. And he's really your only true four. Is there a school of thought that, hey, you know what, we might need to bolster the troops closer to the trade deadline, or are you comfortable knowing that you can trot out like a Bebe Nuguera and you still got options when it comes to filling in for where he's at? Because it really does. I mean, you don't realize how important Patrick Patterson is to this team until he's out of the actual lineup.
I think that's been the biggest lesson for all of us. I think, you know, for our fan base too, to just understand the value that he brings. And it's obviously not with points on the scoreboard or even rebounds, but the glue things that he does for us, the extra pass, the defensive coverages, those things that he brings to our team, the confidence that he brings to other players just because of his consistency, you know, is sorely lost for us. And I think, you know, getting him back is really going to be a nice boost for us. And sort of get our team playing the right way. I think one of the advantages of our team has always been over the last few years is our second unit. It's been a pretty powerful second unit with Corey, T. Ross, you know, Kyle playing in that second unit, and then Pat being in there as well. So being able to reestablish that identity in our second unit will be big for us and help make a difference.
Jam, what have you learned most working under Coach Casey?
I think the biggest thing, and it's a simple thing, but it's such an important thing, is work. He is a tenacious worker. He's always preparing. He's always thinking. He's always trying to find, you know, the next extra edge. And I think for me as a young coach, just to see that modeled in my head coach has been tremendous for me to understand what it takes to be a coach in this league, and the volume of work and the incredible amount of preparation we need to have for each and every moment.
Mm. Yeah, no, you know what? The stories you hear about coach are legendary, where everybody else is having a break or, you know, post-game you're on a plane, he's breaking down tape. You know, where everybody else is having lunch, he's breaking down tape. Like, it's legendary, the work ethic that I've heard. I mean, I haven't seen the guy. He's been true to his word and always come on with us and been terrific. But you got to see, you know, an example like that of a coach who doesn't stop working, doesn't stop trying to get better, must be remarkable to watch.
No, it's fun. I mean, we'll be on the team plane and we'll sort of be, you know, after a late game and, you know, we're flying in home and we're landing at 2:30 in the morning and he's working the entire time and we're sort of watching him. Is he still working? And he just keeps going. It's pretty impressive.